hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
So we've been hearing about why Easter is good news, and I'm just going to talk for a few minutes about that. So what I thought I would talk about is sheep. When I was growing up on a farm in Yorkshire, I used to nag my dad saying, please can we have sheep, please can we have sheep? And I really wanted lambs like that to look after. And he was like, no, we're not having sheep. And I'll go on to tell you why he said that in a minute. But one year, it's a long story, but one year I did end up with 20 pet lambs that needed to be fed with bottles. You didn't go around just with one bottle trying to feed all 20. You had like this contraption with a bucket that you put milk in, and then there's teats along this kind of piece of wood, and they would come and they would have the milk. And my job was to go and fill the bucket up however many times a day it was. And they would get to the point where they saw me coming and they would just rush at me, and some would get their heads in the bucket before I'd managed to put it down. And there was this one particular one that used to take a flying leap into my arms, which was fine when it was this age, but when it got to a bit older, it was, you know, a bit much really. So the point of this is that lambs and sheep are everywhere in the Bible. It's the most often mentioned animal. And what I want to talk about today is how they are used as a symbol to help us understand the truth about God. So I'm going to talk about three different ways that they're mentioned. There are more, but I'm just going to stick to three. Okay, so first of all, we see sheep as a picture to describe us. And there's a verse in Isaiah that's up here that tells us that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So, coming back to the sheep on that I wanted and never had, when I used to ask my dad why he'd stopped rearing sheep, he'd tell me that they were a pain to look after. And in fact, he said the trouble with sheep is that their only ambition in life is to die, which is a slight exaggeration. But he just had story after story of sheep wandering off, escaping from fields, getting stuck in fences. He just said, oh, they're just stupid things. And he had this one story where he was going out with a friend of his, I think they were going to the pub or something, and they drove past a field that belonged to this friend, and there is a sheep that had jumped into the water trough and was stuck. So my dad and his friend had to get out of the car in their nice going to the pub clothes and wrestle the sheep out of the water trough. And that was my dad's illustration of why, no, you can't have sheep because they're stupid, they do things like that. And actually, we have a lot in common with sheep. So we get into trouble and we need rescuing. And we see that right from the beginning of the Bible. So back in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we learn how people rejected God's ways. We thought we could do life better. And so we decided to put ourselves first. And that's what we call sin. And the problem with sin, it might be okay for a while, but it leads to devastating consequences. And we've heard from Tony and from Angela some of the consequences. The most important consequence, though, is that relationship between us and God gets broken. And we desperately need to be rescued. We can't do it ourselves. In Luke's gospel, Jesus tells a parable about a lost sheep. The shepherd leaves 99 in a field, presumably a safe field where they can't escape and get into water troughs. He leaves them all together and he goes to find the one who was lost. And that's a picture of his love for us. He comes running after us. He shoves us off train tracks. He sets us free from the voices that tell us that we're worthless. He's our rescuer. The second thing about sheep is that they, in the Bible, we see them as being used as a sacrificial offering. So if you go back into the Old Testament, there's lots of instances of lambs being sacrificed as a way of symbolizing and cleansing our sin. The lamb had to be perfect, free of any blemish, and it would do two things. So firstly, it was a reminder. It was a symbol of the sin that we found ourselves in. It reminded the Israelites of the serious nature of sin and the consequences for the individuals and the community, wider community. And I just want to read something which I read in an article from the Bible Project. It's really worth looking up. It's just an extract from it. For the Israelites, cutting an animal's throat and watching its blood, that is its life, drained from its body, was a visceral symbol of the devastating results of their sin and selfishness. The stakes are high. Human evil releases death out into the world. It may not seem like such a big deal to cheat your neighbour or steal a donkey. It's not like you're murdering someone, right? But multiply that wrongdoing by tens or hundreds of thousands of people and you get a violent and corrupt community. Sin released into the world compounds and begins a downward spiral. Sin makes God want to leave, just like vandalism and heaps of trash everywhere would make you want to leave a space. So, a reminder, and then secondly, a sacrifice. So it wasn't just reminding us of the consequences of sin, the tragedy of sin. The sheep's life was also offered as a substitute, like ransom money to pay for our sin. If sin vandalizes God's world with death and pain, then God has every right to make people pay and face the consequences. Somehow there had to be a way of making people right with him again, and that's what was happening through that sacrificial lamb offering. The problem, though, people keep sinning, and so ransom after ransom, lamb after lamb, had to be sacrificed. So we needed a different kind of sacrifice, a different kind of lamb, and this is what we find in Jesus. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So here we have that perfect, blemish-free lamb. He steps down from heaven and he pays the ransom for us. He becomes the ransom. On Good Friday, he was crucified. He took the punishment for our sin so that we don't have to keep trying to put things right, going through that cycle of sin, sacrifice, sin, sacrifice. He did nothing wrong. He never sinned. But he allowed himself to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, as it says in that verse. He bore all our sins and paid the penalty so that we can go free. And as a matter of interest, this verse is from the Old Testament. It's a prophecy of what Jesus was going to do. And our relationship with God can be restored. So here's the link between sheep and lambs and good news. So, firstly, it brings an end to the cycle of sin and sacrifice that I mentioned. Jesus suffered for our sins once for all time. We don't have to keep on trying to pay that ransom. We can't do it, but he has done it. Secondly, unlike previous sacrificial lambs, Jesus didn't stay dead. Death had no power over him, and that's what we're celebrating today. On Easter Sunday, as we've seen, the tomb was empty. His resurrection is proof that sin and death are not the end. And we can live in the truth that they're not the end for us either. He, as it says in this verse here, he brings us safely back, safely home to God. And we can live with him forever. He conquered death. We don't have to fear it. It's not the end. We can have new life with Jesus that starts now and continues with him for eternity. And just as I was praying this morning about that, I felt like there may be someone, particularly today, who feels like they've lost hope. And I want to talk to you to tell you that Jesus can give you back your hope. He is your hope. And so I'd be really interested to talk to that person if that is you at the end. So, it's great to hear all this, to hear all these stories, to hear the testimonies, to read everything up here, but there is something for us to do. Beck referred to this verse earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That word believe is not like a head knowledge, oh yeah, I believe it, that's nice. It's an action word. It's about believing and responding. So what's our response? Jesus is offering an invitation into new life. There's three things that we can do. The first is to admit that, like the sheep, we've gone astray. Secondly, to accept that Jesus has paid that ransom. We can't do it. He's done it. And thirdly, to ask Jesus to come and take charge of your life. So if both for Angela and for Tony, you know, life was not good trying to run it themselves. It was once that their lives had been handed over to Jesus that things began to change. So I would just like to end just by praying for us. And if for you, you know, something that I've said or something that you've seen in the drama or the testimonies, if that has resonated, I'd really encourage you to make sure to talk to someone after. Will we have a team of people? Yeah, so there'll be a team of people who can pray for you afterwards. But I'd just like to pray for us now. And if you want to make that response to Jesus, you can just repeat in your own heart. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you have sent Jesus to die in our place on that cross. Lord, I admit that I am one of those sheep that's gone astray. And I know that I can't pay the ransom. Thank you that you have paid the price. You have paid the sacrifice. You have paid the ransom for me. And I want to say to you, Jesus, that I want to turn away from running life my way. And I want to follow you. I want to belong to you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.